Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself. And I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin.
So we are joined today by Joe Manello, the CEO of the Myos Pet Corporation. And I have heard a lot about this product, but I'm curious if it's going to be a good fit for Nino. So I'm excited to jump in. So Joe, welcome today.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet both of you.
So we're always curious. We love like a good origin story. So can you tell us how you got involved with the pet industry and with this product specifically?
Sure. This company was discovered by a neurosurgeon, a doctor, and some scientists who believed that muscle health was really not being addressed in the human nutrition market or the human medical industry. You go to your doctor, they say, wow, you need to drop 10 pounds, but they don't say you need good muscle mass. So they spent a lot of money researching it and developed a product, brought it to a food science company, spent quite a bit of money, and developed what is now called Fortitropin. At that point, they didn't know if it would work. They did a study and they found out that it was effective. It could have been a lot of money that went down the drain. So we had a human nutrition product in the sports nutrition arena. That was 5 years before I came here. And what happened is some people who were real lovers of the sports nutrition product gave it to their older dogs. Two people came back to us and said, you won't believe what we just saw. My dog was starting to show signs of aging, slowing down, and the dog's running up the stairs again, jumping on the bed again. I said, you're crazy. That can't be true. I know our product works, but this sounds too good to be true. So we brought it to the Animal Medical Center in New York City, gave it to them to try on geriatric dogs, and similar results. It was incredible. And with that, in 2018, we launched what is known today as Myos Canine Muscle Formula. Now we have feline and equine, but based on our product or our ingredient, proprietary ingredient, Fortitropin, which is all natural, derived from fertile egg yolk. Essentially, in the human side of food, in the cat, dog, horse side, it's a supplement. So that's how we got here. Since I've been here, we had one study when I came to Myos, and then now we have 8, 6 that shown the efficacy in cats, dogs, and humans, 2 in one in a horse, 1 in cats. It was a stability dose and, you know, just to make sure that there were no issues with palatability, et cetera. We really put a lot of research behind the product to make sure, 1, that it works for that species, that it works with the proper dosing, and that we're getting the efficacy that we hope. Our latest study was one in cats with chronic kidney disease, because they lose lots of muscle because they're on a low protein diet. One of the problems, if they have protein, that can cause real harm to their kidneys. We were actually surprised. We did it to make sure their renal panel, that it didn't show signs of an increase in protein in their kidneys. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I'm doing my best to explain a study from a layman's term. But what we found is it didn't increase the renal, there were no signs in the renal panel that this hurt their kidneys, yet it increased their lean muscle mass in 70% of the cats, which was really, really an excellent study for us. So now we have two in dogs, one in cats, three in humans that really, really have shown the efficacy of our product and muscle, increase in muscle, reducing muscle atrophy.
So I actually, one of the things I've learned through all the strange musculoskeletal issues that I've had as a person is that there isn't really like a doctor who is like specific to the musculoskeletal system. And so that's always very interesting to me, considering how much of our bodies that takes up. And so I'm glad to hear that you somebody was looking at this, you know, from an animal perspective also. So I'm curious with, do you have any insight? I know you're not a scientist. You know, like I have an older guy, he's like a 10-year-old pit bull, and his whole life he's been this really beefy, like 80-pound guy. And we've noticed, particularly over the past year, that he's really started to lose some of his muscle mass. And he's still able to run and jump and things, maybe not quite as much as he used to, but he could still jump up on the bed and things. But what is the connection with aging and the loss of muscle mass?
So just think of, I'm 66. You know, you start losing muscle, you know, in your 30s, really, you start slowly.
That's depressing.
you start slowly and then it increases. And each decade it gets faster and faster. And I mean, look at LeBron James and, you know, other athletes, they work so hard on their body that they're able to keep muscle and play longer. You need Tom Brady's, the LeBron James, the people who really, really work out, because there is a change. That's why athletes leave pros or whatever in their 30s. So you see this now. You don't notice it as much, but as you get older, it really starts happening faster. And the same thing happens to dogs. The difference is we can go to the gym and work out. Dogs, you know, my dog's sitting right there. He's taking his afternoon nap after his morning nap and his evening sleep. So they lose muscle mass also. And usually we don't do anything about it. We just say, my dog's getting older. Well, as with humans, there are things you can do. And our product really enhances their ability to keep more muscle or increase their muscle mass. You know, it's not going to make them live forever. But what we see and what we hear from customers and from vets is that, you know, they're able to move more. Arthritis, which develops in the joints a lot for older dogs and humans, because you're able to keep the quadricep muscles stronger, you're able to move. And as we all know, if we move, we keep more muscle. You know, if you don't move, you lose that. So it really, really helps them, not keep them younger, but act like they're younger, a better health span. And, you know, I would never say that they're going to, you know, we have customers saying, you gave my dog an extra couple of years. I don't believe that. I mean, I would love that to be the case, but we just hope we can make those years better for the dog and your relationship with your dog, cat, horse, yourself. It has an incredible effect on their muscle. And if you look at you know, there's a term for it called sarcopenia. That's really, it's considered a disease, but it's just muscle loss as you age. And we do things to help that, or we should. And now our product really helps animals do that.
So my question, I have three dogs.
Oh boy.
And I love the fact that they're spanned out over age. So I have a year and a half, a five-year-old and a 10-year-old. So I actually ordered your product for my 10-year-old, even though I don't feel any muscle loss at this stage, which I'm astounded by. But I still want to be on top of that. But what age can a dog start on your product?
So it really depends on the breed. And because some breeds have a 9 to 12 year lifespan, some breeds have a 14 to 16 year old lifespan, smaller dogs, longer, larger dogs, shorter. I think the way I think about it, if they start losing their muscle at their midlife or slightly before their midlife, I think it's a great time to start on their product. So the muscle loss won't set in. Mm-hmm. It's preventative. Yeah. And my guy here is 10 and a half. He, you know, I had him in the office. I had to bring him home because he's crazy. He just wants to play. Now, I can't say he's been on the product. It doesn't cost him a lot. So he's been on the product for 4.5 years. And he still runs and is excited as a puppy. Can I say it's exactly from that product? I do believe it helps because he's not going to go through that muscle loss until later on. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many linkages in both human studies and dog studies that you can cite that shows more lean muscle, better health, less disease, because you have that muscle mass. You know, it's a fallacy. We look at our life. Everyone says, oh, you need to be skinny. Well, if you're skinny with no muscle, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
I'd rather be, and maybe I'm just telling myself this, I'd rather have a little more extra weight, but have muscle. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell my wife. So she seems to be buying it. but it's true. If you have muscle, you know, you there's just too much science saying that that will help you fight off disease. We saw it with COVID. Mm-hmm. People who were sarcopenic, who had low muscle mass because they were diabetic, et cetera, got hit harder with COVID.
Yeah.
So I saw that you had some information on your website about some different conditions, like, for instance, osteoarthritis. And the one that really caught my attention also was like the TPLO recovery. And right. I've been so fortunate with my current dogs that we haven't blown any CCLs, but we had a dog several years back that did tear both of her CCLs, and we did like some alternative treatments because she wasn't a good surgical candidate. Are there any other conditions like this that you have looked at that it's really been beneficial for?
We did 100 dog TPLO surgery study, which was, that's a lot of dogs for a study. I didn't realize it in the time, but you see a lot of animal studies with small amounts of animals. You know, if you're making a drug, it's totally different. In humans, it's thousands. Excuse me. We've done, other than the chronic kidney disease, we did a study in dogs with arthritis, and to see, you know, it's called a load score, Liverpool osteoarthritis in dog study. And you fill out a questionnaire, and if your dog score is better, that means their arthritis is, our product's helping them deal with their arthritis. And we were pretty confident they would do well because we had vets and tons of consumers saying that it really has made a difference to their dog. We haven't done a study on hip dysplasia, but any injury or anything where you lose muscle, you know, even if you, you know, you can get a knee injury, us, or an elbow injury and not want to have surgery. But once you get that injury, you will have muscle atrophy. So if my dog had hip dysplasia, I would try the product because I think it could help. What we found in this 100 dog study is that the dogs recovered quicker, were stronger, you know, which makes sense. They're able to get more muscle. Why they're losing muscle? Because they're cut, right? And if you're injured, you're not moving that. So if you can help with that muscle around that injury, it really helps. So we think it works for most types of injuries, will help, but I don't like to say, well, oh, it definitely works for hip dysplasia, because we don't have the science that says that. But I'm fairly confident that it can, but I can't make that claim.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I thought I saw that it's one of the most studied supplements. Like, there's the most scientific data compared to a lot of the other supplements out there. Is that right?
Well, we do our own science around. We just didn't throw it out there. There are other products out there in the supplement world that other people, but most, this is a product that very rare do small companies like us do that much science around their specific product. I mean, you can have their science out there on chondroitin and conglosamine, but it's not typically that a company themselves does this much research to prove that their product. And we take risks. We could have done that TPLO surgery study, and we could have failed, because you never know. Not every dog or every cat or every horse gets benefit. You know, we're all wired differently. But we're willing to take that risk because we really, really believe in our product.
When I was looking around on the website and the products that you offer, two things caught my attention. So I just ordered them both because I was curious.
You're our best consumer.
But there is the, I'm trying to find the right page, but there's the regular Myos, but then there's the Myos with the greenlip, the Myos joint with the greenlip muscle.
Right.
So can you go into the difference between the two for people who are curious?
Sure. One really focuses on muscle. Green lipped muscle, which is the muscle down from New Zealand, has, you know, omega-3s and is focused on joint. If you look at, there's a lot of joint supplements out there that have green lipped muscle in it. Mm-hmm. So we like the fact that it has some science around it. It's all natural. We source it from New Zealand and it's freeze dried. They make different products where they do other ways of drying it. We like freeze drying, because as you know, heat can really, really destroy a lot of the value in food products, et cetera. So as close to its raw state is where we really like our products. So it has good science. So it's really a muscle and joint, you know, as you get older, these dogs have arthritis, so it's a way to address both. Some people will take our muscle supplement and do their own joint. We wanted to give them a combo, and we wanted it natural. Mm-hmm. That's important to us. A lot of the supplements you see out there have, you know, are synthetic products. And I'm not going to judge that anywhere. If they work, they work. But we try to keep as close to being all natural as possible.
Yeah. I like the fact that there's the option, because a lot, I wouldn't say a lot of my followers, but I've heard from followers who are looking for something that will support their dog's joints, but doesn't contain green lip muscles. And so it's nice that they can still enjoy your products and not have it, but my dogs can have them both. So,
what was interesting is, when we did our geriatric study, we brought in a scientist who was an expert, or a professor / scientist, Dr. Michael Jaffe, who was an expert on osteoarthritis. And what he said is, there's not one cure for arthritis or way, even say cure, there's no cure, but one way to treat it. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they do joint supplements. Sometimes you'll do an NSAID, and there's other ways, but he said our product should be part of how he defined a multimodal approach. Mm-hmm. You can't just deal with the joints. if you don't deal with the muscle, if you don't potentially deal with the pain. Because if a dog's going through severe pain from their joints, a lot of times they'll give them an NSAID, you know, an Advil to get rid of that pain, then work on the joints and the muscle. And then hopefully over time, they don't need to be on that drug anymore because they're stronger and starting to move and getting that fluid going, and then they can be off the NSAID. But he loved the idea of making our product part of this approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you work with some great veterinarians on the advisory board. Like, I recognize Dr. Laurie McCulley, you know, she's like a really renowned rehab specialist. And how do they contribute to what you're doing?
So Dr. McCulley came to us and said, I tried your product. I loved it. You have some great science, and started buying the product. And so everyone on our board has had experience with the product because we want them not just to be on the board. We want them to really, really see the results. And Dr. McCulley, we do a lot with rehab. That's a big area for us. We do a lot with agility dogs. And Dr. McCulley, I mean, what she has done to help rehab dogs, you know, the pool where dogs do therapy in the pool, and she's just great. So they usually become a customer, they love it. And then if we like them and they like us, we try to put them on the board. And so, it's not all altruistic. We want them to help promote our product, but we want someone, I'm not a veterinarian, so, and I'm not a doctor. I want their advice. I want them, you know, we're thinking about adding green lipped muscle. What do you think? That's great, as long as it's pure from New Zealand, you know, these kind of things, or maybe you should add this or that. Focus on this part. Do this study. This would be a good, Dr. Corinne Saker came to us. She's on our board. She said, I'd love to do a study on chronic kidney disease in cats because huge amount of cats have CKD and they lose muscle. It'd be interesting to see how your product worked. And it worked. That's soon to be published. But so that's, the board is promotional, educational, and they're great for advising our team, you know, what's going on in the world that we're only, you know, around, but we're not doing therapy. We're not, you know, when we went down to VMX, which is the big vet conference down in Florida, we didn't pay someone, but one of the doctors there in three of her CTE courses, she mentioned our product, had a whole slide because of what she saw. They're the kind of people we want on the board, people who know it, love it, and they can speak from experience, not, oh, they pay me. Let me say whatever they want me to.
No, understood. So, I mean, understanding that every dog is unique, on average, how long does it take for someone to actually notice a difference when they start it?
You know, we've had as short as 2 weeks, which is rare. Typically, and what we have found, it's about a month. Depends on the size of the dog. Mm-hmm. Depends on what's going on with them. So I would have to say 1 to 4 months. And it's funny, we get people who give us testimonials. Well, it didn't work. Gave it to my dog last Wednesday. I don't see anything. And the expectation, is really, really high. Yeah. So, and I get that, but this is not, it's not a drug. It's not an antibiotic that you take like a Z-Pak for 5 days and you see results. It takes some time, but it's natural. There's no, you know, it's not like you can expect an adverse reaction unless you have an animal who has an egg allergy. And that does exist. It's rare. Often we say start with a quarter dose, half dose, full dose. And typically that works. But if they have an egg allergy, it's an egg. It's derived from egg. It's been great so far. But I think 1 month is the magic time frame. But again, it depends what the dog's going through and what the expectations. Think about it. If you give it to someone who's really old and really has lots of muscle atrophy, it can take a long time. You can give it to a dog maybe on the cusp or was active, et cetera, and it can happen quicker. And the size of the dog obviously matters. The little dogs, you know, can tend to see it sooner, even though the dose is matched for their weight. For some reason, they do.
Yeah.
And so I see that you don't need to go through your veterinarian, right? Like I can just say, hey, I want to buy this.
Yes, you can buy it on our website, on myospet.com, Amazon, Chewy. And then the vet has a product that we make exclusively for vets. So it's we've added an ingredient or two to those, so they have an exclusive product.
Okay.
We know vets do not want to compete with the Amazons of the world or retail, even though they buy both products from us. But we do make a pure vet exclusive product.
And it's okay to buy the ones on Amazon?
It's excellent. We stand behind our products. So the ones on Amazon, I mean, it is essentially it's 100% Fortitropin. So you'll get great results if you have a dog that it works for.
And some people say, oh, we don't buy anything you see on Amazon because it's not, you know, official or legit. So we've tried to start.
Go to our website, go to Chewy. You know, if there's any issues, we take the product back. We stand behind the product. The product on our site, the product on Amazon, and even on the product some of the vets sell, there's no real difference. Our product on our site and on Amazon are the same.
Yeah.
There's nothing different.
Well, I don't know who does it, but the people who make the fake supplement, once a supplement becomes popular, someone will come along and make a fake option. And so now people are nervous. But I love the Amazon option because if I'm not paying attention and suddenly I run out of something and I need it tomorrow, I just really love the fact that Amazon is an option. And in our town, we actually have a distribution center. So sometimes I can get things the same day.
Someone dropped something off here at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not happy about.
Yeah.
I have a dog and I make sure I don't check that box. But Amazon's been a good partner. We're the only seller. We have a great team that works with our team. And they've been good. And we work with them. Again, we treat our clients and our customers and Amazon like they're a partner of ours. Because we have customers who are buying from Amazon. And if they if something happens, delivery doesn't get there, they're not calling Amazon. They're calling So we'll, you know, they said it got lost, it was cracked, it was whatever, and we'll send them some new product. So we look at Amazon, Chewy as partners with us.
Yeah.
And because they are essentially because they're selling to our clients.
Yeah. Well, it's just nice to have all of those different options as well. I mean, I just ordered it from your website. So I'm like all excited. I'm excited. I want to smell it. I want to know what it's like. I want to know what it's, you know, what the consistency is. And I'm really curious to know how my dogs respond. They're pretty good about eating their food. So it's not a big deal. So one question I have. So for those of us who make our own dog food, does using your supplement preclude us from adding eggs to the meal?
It does not.
Okay.
It does not. Again, unless your dog has an egg allergy, but mm-hmm. it does not in any way that we know of. We've done so many dogs have now over these years, so many doses and so many canisters we've sold that we feel really confident that it's an all natural product, that there's no side effects that we know of, again, unless I'm sure we'll get something, you know, and we do every so often get someone say, digestively, my dog didn't react well to it. Mm-hmm. But that's rare. So I would not worry about any of that. Unless your dog is, you know, incredibly overweight, I would just cut back. The beauty of our product, it's really, really a big bang for the caloric buck. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of calories, and it really, really helps the dogs.
And we can't just like give them a bunch of eggs and get the same result.
Can't. I wish you could. And then, because I would take our cost down a lot.
I mean, can you imagine the cost of just giving a ton of eggs? Eggs are so expensive right now.
They're really expensive. Now, ours is, ours is derived from fertile eggs. It's very expensive. So I'm shocked. When I became CEO of the company, I said, let me see if, I know we have one study here, but we have to prove it and then prove it and then prove it. So that's why we embarked on studies at Kansas State University, UCal Berkeley, NC State, McMaster University, to name a few. And they're peer reviewed. And so we take a lot of pride in what we have.
And did you say there's a human version also?
Yes. It's called Yolked, Y-O-L-K-E-D.
Oh, okay.
It's our sports nutrition brand.
Okay.
We mostly athletes. It's a great way for them to help build muscle in naturally, and it's not even a supplement. It has a nutrition fact panel, so it's a food. It's certified by NSF, which certifies for sport, meaning that there's no issues with it for athletes to take, and we. You can be assured this product goes through so many tests before it gets to the consumer, even as a pet supplement or a human supplement. Before it goes into our Yolked brand, it goes through NSF certification, which is literally 200 tests to make sure our label is correct, to make sure there is nothing in the product that's harmful to an athlete.
And then you said there's also like a cat version and a horse version.
It's Myos feline muscle formula and then Myos equine muscle formula, which we just launched this past year.
Horse stuff is so expensive.
Well, they're so big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so expensive. And but people who own horses are pretty used to knowing that they have it's like having eight teenage boys at one meal. So they know it's expensive, but it is. I mean, it wouldn't be if they didn't need so much, but they need a lot.
Yeah. And I see that you have a chew. And do you anticipate that you'll offer a collagen option in the powders?
That's a collagen chew. It's not doesn't have fortitropin in it. It's our muscle formula and mobility formula with collagen, which we like. We are looking at all of adding different SKUs after talking to customers and something we think is beneficial. Like we think probiotics have some real value. Mm-hmm. So we've been working almost a year on a probiotic chew. I don't know if we're going to do collagen in the regular powder yet. We're looking at egg white, eggshell membrane.
Oh, yeah.
Which also has some good science to it, mm-hmm. Which could be beneficial again for joints, yeah. Similar to green lip muscle. We just don't want to over saturate because it just takes up the cost. Mm-hmm. So we want to grow our SKUs,
yeah.
But we grow them very slowly. A lot of people just throw out everything. and they buy garbage. And we're just not willing to do that.
Yeah, understood. I'm excited to try it.
Me too. So you've given us a little hint here. I was going to ask, is there anything, you know, coming down the pike that you want to give us like a sneak preview of?
We will have one or two more chews coming down the pike. I don't want to go into it because it has taken forever for us to get it right. We get the chews. They don't meet our quality standards. We send them back. We get another batch. They don't need the ingredients. Takes time to work on to make sure we have the right ingredients. So we hope within 3 months or so to get at least our first additional chew. We are looking at launching a product in the human space for 40, 50 and older, especially with what's going on with some of these GLP-1 drugs where people are losing weight, but losing muscle. And, they lose some of their hunger. Well, the beauty is our product, for a small dose, you can get help with your loss of muscle, we believe. So that's something we're doing some research on now. We are working on some new science. We try to stay ahead and continue to look at different types of issues in the animal world and the human world that our product may address, knowing that we could fail. But we think it's worth trying. So I think you can count on at least 2 new SKUs or 3 new SKUs in the pet area this year and 1 or 2 in the human side.
It sounds like you're very like R&D heavy. That would sound very exciting.
It is. I had to reinvent my brain, if you can say, because I have a psychology major and I spent years in finance. So I've had to surround myself with the vets and scientists who understand the science. And I've been lucky. I have some really, really good people who advise me and talk to me and about what we're doing. The people we do our studies with are great. The vet world is really, really good people who really, really care. I like to think about, I love my internist, but our vet and the vets I made are so nice. And sometimes doctors are not. Some aren't. So I've been blessed to have really good, surround myself with really good people.
That's always important. So will people be able to see you? There's so many amazing events going on around the country this year. Do you guys plan on being at any of the events?
We are looking at them. The one we love is the VMX, which we were just out in Orlando, because we like the vet group because it's they're scientists, they're doctors. They understand our product. They understand the science. And then they go out and they promote it. So it's really important to us. There are a lot of other shows that I've gone to that are just so big, you know, and now they'll have 3 floors of CBD products. And so you get lost in the shuffle. That's not a good return for us. I'd rather do this. Mm-hmm. And to get the word out, then sit there at a booth and just have people walking around saying, oh, what are you giving for free? The good news about those things, we can meet with strategic partners. We can meet with vets. But we really are very picky. And one, we're a small company. So we use our money on research more than these boondoggles. I mean, there's people who go to many each year, but it's a lot of money. You got to get a table. The only one making money there are the people who set it up. So again, we pick and choose. We love the vet one because we have our vets who are our customers come see us. We go out to dinner. We talk about, you know, what's going on in the industry. That's more important to us than going to one where, you know, there's just tons of people and you really can't have a conversation about your product, et cetera. And so we are very selective. We'll pick one. We do a lot in the canine world. So we'll pick an event in canine. We'll go to an agility event, which are not as big, not as glamorous, but we have people there that know us.
Those agility dogs are always getting hurt too.
It was funny. We did our first agility event a couple of years ago and our vet team went and they said people were coming up to us and we go, our team would go, we'd like to tell you about Miles. They go, no, we've been using Miles for a year. Everyone knows about Miles in this world. So that was good to hear. You know, agility dogs, canine agility owners, canine owners, the rehab specialists, they see what happens with muscle. You know, your average consumer may or may not. You know, when they see it, they see it when their dog's slowing down. The agility, the canine working dogs, and the rehab, they see it even at a different age. So they really see it and report on it. So it's in the human nutrition world, they would always say, give it to the bodybuilders. That's how we started because they know everything they eat. You know, I'm having this amount of egg yolk, this amount of this amount of protein. So they know it. And if you have success there because they've seen differences. Now, one of the problems of the bodybuilding world is there's, steroids that are there too. So, but you give it, like the athletes we give it to, they really know their bodies. So we like that we're big in the canine working dog, the agility, because that tells us a lot about our product too. And rehab specialists, rehab vets who say, oh my God, it's working. It's just wonderful what we see. That's important.
Do you ever have veterinarians who aren't open to something like this? Because like it's not FDA approved or it's natural or, Kimberly and I and, I know a lot of the people that listen to our podcast have had strange encounters with vets when they want to do something that, is a little different. So I was just curious if you've ever, does the research just convince them or are some people still like, I don't know about that?
I think research, time, and using it. You know, in the beginning, when we just launched this in that world, it was, what do you got? Oh, and there was a real lack of focus on muscle health. So we had to really, it was education as much as sales. Why should I care about muscle? I've never cared about muscle before. And so, we'd have a couple of vets, they try, they go, oh my God, I see it now. I get it now. And so we went from a couple of vets and first year we had 50, then 150, then 500, 1,000. And now we're at 2,500 and growing. So it's time. You want it to go quicker, but, and I thought when I became CEO, I thought I was only going to do this a short period of time, but to build something great, it takes time, where you can have a video go out and boom, your sales can pop up. But if people aren't seeing any results, they go right back down and you're a flash in the pan. So I'd rather build it like this.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're both excited to try it. And we thank you for your time today.
So just know any questions, anything, we're always here. I'm always available. My team's available. We pride ourselves on our customer service. Our customer service team is awesome. It's hard because we get a lot of people who've given to their dogs in the last year of their lives or 2 years. So we get a lot of people who call us and say, my dog passed. Can you give me a refund? Which we do. And we write them a little letter. But so we have to have a very compassionate customer service team. So please, when you try it, if you have questions, please ask.
I will.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate
it. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, that was so much fun. I'm really excited to try Myos with Nino.
You know, this podcast is expensive. I'm just going to tell you that right now, because every time we talk to someone, I'm like, so 10 minutes in, I'm like, okay, Here's my money. Take my money right now. I mean, I'm using, you know, gold standard herbs. And then, I mean, Bella, Zoe is just going to benefit so much from it. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Like I said, it's weird seeing Nino not be super beefy right now.
So you had some fun this weekend.
Oh my goodness. I was in all my dog nerd glory, let me tell you. So I think I've mentioned on here before, Suzanne Clothier is this dog trainer who I just love her. And I read her book, Bones Would Rain from the Sky. I actually checked my Amazon. I bought it back in 2009. And it's probably the book that has impacted me the most about what kind of like dog mom, how I want to, the relationship I want to have with my dog. And she has this whole thing around relationship-based training. And especially with this Nessie girl here, I have really been leaning into this. And I found a trainer locally who teaches her model of classes. And I found out that Suzanne Clothier is actually coming here to Maryland to do this 3-day seminar. And so I was like, I'm signing up. And actually, my veterinarian signed up too. So we went, and it was over like an hour drive each way for like every day. So that part was not fun. Although I totally binged like this whole true crime podcast on the way. But so the first day was sort of teaching the basic concepts of the class. And some people signed up to bring their dogs. And so I think there was maybe like 10 spots to bring your dog. I did not bring Nessie because honestly, I wasn't sure how she would do like around that many other dogs. And I didn't want us to be the jerks in the room, mm-hmm. that the dog's going nuts the whole time. And so, you know, they worked on skills. She teaches like the auto check-in. She teaches the relaxation. And then we learned this fun game called Go Hunt. Mm-hmm. And this was fun because I know a lot of us will do the thing where we like hide treats and have the dog like kind of find it. But with Go Hunt, it's you helping the dog find the treats and kind of like you being engaged with it and being okay. Like, oh, look here. Oh, look here. And it's like a whole other like level of fun. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've been starting to play this with Nino and Nessie. And then even like on your walks, you know, if like, for instance, if you're on the trail and there's a bicyclist coming, maybe you can be like, hey, let's go hunt. And
oh, yeah.
You have treats in your pocket. You're hiding. I'm like, hey, look over here. Look over here. Mm-hmm. You know, to kind of like distract from whatever, you know, the bicycle coming. Nice. And so I'm curious about, you know, we're just for now just trying it in the house, trying it in some different places. But, you know, I do want to bring it outside and see if I can engage her that way because she goes on such prey drive alert when mm-hmm. we're outside. So, yeah, it was fun to see how everybody's dogs were doing and get, you know, watching like the different issues that people were running into and how they were addressing them. And I also just... she has this thing called the think and learn zone. And this was like so interesting to think about, right? Like, because we could see it in our dogs. Like when they get like way too aroused, if she sees a rabbit, I can't get her to think yeah. and learn right now, you know? Yeah. And then it's kind of like recognizing like, oh, this is where it starts. We just start losing them and to try to bring them back. And like mm-hmm. that's kind of, you know, trying to expand that think and learn zone through those times when she calls it being sticky, where you're just starting to, you know, lose them a little bit. And so I like just having this kind of vocabulary for like what I'm seeing and stuff.
Yeah.
So then the second day, oh God, this was so fascinating. Like if I could just get a job doing this, oh my gosh. So she has this whole way of evaluating dogs to kind of like start to learn their personality. And so she had this kind of like gated in area. It was maybe like 10 foot by 15 foot. And she would put different things like a trash bag or like kind of like a folded up crate. That's like, if you step on it, it'll make that, you know, metal noise. And then some like treats like that were like trapped in a thing that they couldn't get the treats out of. Okay. So they could smell them, but they couldn't get to them. And then there would be like some other different items too. And just trying like have different dogs come in and just see like, were they so anxious that they just stood outside, like looking for their person the whole time and didn't engage with things? Were they dogs that went around and had to like sniff everything and check everything out, you know? And so it was just interesting. Like there was a little dachshund guy and he would like go and sniff things right by the entrance area, but like he didn't want to stray too far from, you know, being able to see his mom. And yet there were other dogs that are like, this is amazing. I've been around. and it was just kind of like this way to kind of gauge like each dog's personality, you know, and I'm thinking like from a shelter or a rescue perspective, like how helpful and useful this could be. Yeah. And then we talked some too about like their physical abilities and like how to, you know, like look at their gait and look at, you know, things and how that could be impacting their behavior, right? Mm-hmm. For instance, the dachshund guy had IVDD, the, you know, disc thing. So no wonder he was like a little more anxious. He doesn't have great mobility to get around if something scary happens and he has to get away from it, right? Like, yeah. So of course he kind of sticks close to his mom. And then, so there was like all different breeds of dogs, you know, because I'm such a like rescue pit bull person that's, you know, what I see most of the time. So it's interesting to me. I had never heard of this dog breed, a Clumber Spaniel.
Huh.
So this, to me, the dog that I saw looked like a cross between a Newfoundland and a Cocker Spaniel. And there's some kind of hunting breed from Europe, I guess. And so they were kind of funky looking. Oh, like I had never seen a dog like this before. You know, there was Dobermans, there was a Rottweiler, a couple Shepherds. You know, there was a lot of dog sport people. It was probably like 35 people who were in attendance. I told Tim there was two men and they were both with their wives, you know, like it's all women. Also, I was probably like the youngest person in the room, probably. It was, you know, like a lot of older retired women who are like super into agility with their dogs and dog sports and things. And that's, you know, it was a reminder of how many different flavors of dog people that there are out there. You know, it was just kind of funny, like being a rescued pit bull person, you know, it's a whole different crowd.
Yeah, I know it is. It's so, I love stuff like that. I love learning stuff like that. It's funny because I would, so, you know, because this is, you know, National Women's History Month. And I'm not going to go into like the history of dog training and, or, you know, with women and stuff. I try to think of something I can do on my social media to celebrate that. So I decided every weekday of this month, I'm going to share a woman's social media account that I really enjoy following. And there's one person that I started following who talks a lot about dog communication. So what the various things that they do mean. And I can't remember the name of the account, but I'm like slowly going through my Instagram, like I always see her, but the day I want to find her, I can't find her, but I want to promote that one. But then there's another one that I came across recently where someone was talking about like being dogs being triggered. And she is talking, you know, like the do's and don'ts. And it's like, if your dog is triggered and it goes to what you were saying about, you know, when they're not learning, they've gone past that threshold. And she mentioned one of the worst things you can do is make your dog sit, because you're making your dog sit in that space, in that triggered space, and focus on the item that's triggering them. And I never thought about that, because one of the things that my dogs, like Rodrigo, he would immediately sit down. When he was triggered by a bicycle, he'd immediately sit down and then lose his mind. And I'm just like, why is this happening? I didn't make him sit. It's just that's what he would do. And Bella does the same thing. When she sees a bicycle, she'll sometimes sit down. Sometimes she'll even lay down. And she's shaking like a leaf. But I did find that I don't know if I talked about this with you, but if I walk her separately from the other dogs. So if it's just me and her on the Centennial Trail, it's hit or miss. But if it's just me, her, and Zoe, she does pretty good. If it's me, her, and Apollo, she does pretty good. But if it's all of the dogs, it's she can't handle it. It's wow. Too much. And I wonder if it's just like, there's just so much going on that it's just too much. But then when I take her and walk her in a space that has more, like she can see the bicycle, She can see the joggers. She can see other people walking dogs, but they're way over there. So she'll look and she'll even get excited when she sees other dogs. But when since they're not coming past her, she's not freaked out. So it's like having that space. And then also taking her to my friend's property where she just runs loose with all the other dogs, she's absolutely fine. I mean, everyone's like, what? She has fear issues? And I was like, yeah, she does. She shakes like a leaf. But it's just like, I would be really curious to know what, you know, in that example that you gave with the area, what would be determined, like how each of my dogs would respond to that. And then what would be determined? I mean, I already know that Apollo would want to check every single thing out. And if there's a human being in that space,
yes, there's a person, and like the person would stand still for like a minute and then like move. And so mm-hmm. you would see like, was the dog interested in that or not? Yeah. And I remember there was a couple different stuffed things. So like one was like a stuffed dog that was just, you know, like a kind of cartoony looking dog. Mm-hmm. And then one was like this stuffed monkey, and it actually would like play a song. And so like after like a minute, the person would like turn the monkey on and have it dance and play the song to see how the dog reacted to that differently from when it was still. Yeah. And then they have one of those like super realistic stuffed dogs. It kind of looks like a life-size border collie or something. And so it was like, are they, and it was interesting to see, you know, because some of the dogs would be like, who's that guy? And then they'd be like, oh, he's just a toy, you know, and like to see how they would each react differently to that one. So that one was, you know, interesting too. And then, you know, they would after like another minute or something, like the person would kind of start like gathering all the stuff up, and like it would kind of make noise, and like did that freak them out? Because you're checking how do they respond to like noise stimulus or something, and then the person in the enclosure would like kind of try to take the dog around and be like, oh, did you check this? And you know, some of the dogs were like really interested in staying with the person, and some of them were just like, yeah, I don't know who you are, I'm gonna do anything, you know. And and then they would try it again, like luring the dog with like a treat, like, and see does the treat make the difference, you know. And it's yeah. like you're kind of gauging their like food motivation, you know, like if that'll keep them with the person. And so yeah, and then if they wouldn't respond to any of it, then they would bring the owner in and have the owner try, like mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really an interesting way of kind of like trying to judge their personality.
I can see why that would be really beneficial for rescue. Yeah, that's I'm like just trying to figure out how we can do that. I mean, I would have to have a stranger come and help me. Because yeah. I already know how Apollo's like, he loves people, and he would check stuff out, but mostly he loves people. But I'm more curious about how Bella would respond and how Zoe would respond. Because I think Zoe would be at the entrance looking like, where's right. mom? Where's Why my am mom? I here? Who are you?
Yeah, like one of the dogs kept trying to just like jump up on the like gate and like the enclosure gates, like, hey, mom. Like, so then the third day was kind of like a putting like it all together thing. And again, this woman, Suzanne Clothier, I just think she's so brilliant. And she has this mind map. And so it kind of, you know, has like all these different branches coming off of it, of all these different ways that all these different like parts of a dog's personality that you can look at. So like, you know, how are they with other dogs? How are they with people they know? How are they with people they don't know? How are they in this situation and that, you know, what's their tail? What's their eyes? What's their breathing? What's that, you know? And it's like on all these different branches of like ways that you can, you know, are they more anxious? Are they more confident? You know, how to evaluate this. And yeah, that's why I'm sitting here like, oh my God, I could just do this all day. Right? And so then we had some case studies, and some people had brought their dog in, but the one person couldn't bring her dog in. And oh my goodness, just hearing this one girl, like I've heard of dogs that have OCD before. I was like almost moved to tears listening to this woman speak about her experiences with her dog. She had adopted her dog through a rescue, but as a puppy, because I guess the pregnant mama dog had been in the rescue, and then the, you know, puppies were born. So she'd had him since he was like 4 months old. And her dog has OCD around lights and shadows, and will like chase things to the point where she'll like bloody her paws trying to dig at things.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was so like, I've just never I never understood the depth of how OCD can be with dogs like this before. And I mean, this poor girl will like sit around her house at night in the dark because she can't turn any lights on because it'll freak her dog out. And she's done all these different medications and veterinary behaviorists, and it's on this diet. Like, oh my gosh. So of course I'm sitting here with my vet, and I think she was like gasping in horror at some of the medications and at the diet they have the dog on. Anyway, so she and I have like keep texting each other about like, I wonder if they would try this. I wonder if she would try this. Like, but yeah, I, like I said, I kind of knew that this was like a thing that could maybe happen, but I never really understood how, you know, but then it's like, on the other hand, the dog loves other dogs. It loves other people. They live near a dog park. The dog loves the dog park. It loves doggy daycare. She can board it and travel if she needs to. Like, it wasn't all hers, right? But like really listening to what it was like, and the crowd that we were in, because it's these kind of like working dog, agility dog people, it's a very different mindset, right, than like rescue.
Yeah.
And so some of the people were asking her like, well, why do you keep this dog? And she's just like, it's my dog.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, that, it was just interesting. And then, you know, so like that was like clearly like a very medical, you know, kind of based issue. And then there was like it was one dog that was like really whining, and the person was struggling with that. And then there was another person who had, oh, a Shiba Inu, which they just look like a little goofy fox or something to me. And they had their dog, and you had to bring like a, you know, like a crate, or a, like people had those pop-up crates and stuff. And this woman had like a little tent, and the dog kept like sticking her head out of the top of the tent. And it was like the most adorable thing I'd ever seen. And her dog would get stubborn, quote unquote, doing agility. And so it was interesting. And what we started to realize is like, her dog is really bored. Like, she'll do it once or twice, but she don't want to do it anymore because she already did it, you know? And so it was interesting realizing like, sometimes the dogs are so smart that like they get bored with stuff. And, you know, and so that was just an interesting one. And then there was this woman with a shepherd, and this was something like, this is what I always think of as kind of, I don't know, like a stereotypical problem where the dog had been rescued. She knew the backstory that the shepherd had been like chained out in a backyard for years. And now she's had the dog for like a year. And I think like the woman was really anxious. It's a big dog. She wasn't, you know, she was a smaller woman. I think the dog would sometimes get really excited, and it's a big shepherd. And she thought maybe it was reactive in a bad way, but we actually think it was more excited in like a good way. Yeah. But it's a shepherd, and so he's jumping and kind of whining and jumping,
like Apollo,
and you know, making all this noise, right? And I think that was like scary for her. And then she would like get anxious, and then you could see the dog get anxious if she got anxious. And so, and then she was kind of telling herself the story of like, you know, that, oh, he's like this because he had been left on this chain, and you know, and kind of trying to pick apart like, well, what is the story you're telling yourself versus what is the reality of the dog's behavior? And, you know, and coming up with a plan for like, oh, well, if he doesn't like those situations, okay, don't do this situation, you know, like, so anyway, it was such an interesting mix of like people and problems, and we would get to like question them, right. And like kind of help draw out the story and see what we were seeing, like the Shiba Inu dog. Every time the woman would give her dog a treat, she would kind of go to pet the dog on the head. And you could see the dog kind of like, I don't like that. I don't like that, you know? And so it's like, but this was like such an ingrained thing in the woman that it's like, she has to like interrupt this thing that she always does, you know, like, don't pet him. He doesn't like that, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just, oh my God, I was in all my dog nerd glory. I was like, I just want to go to these classes all the time.
That just sounds like heaven. Oh, I'm so jealous. That sounds wonderful. But before we sign off, I do want to just give a shout out to the Healthy Dog Expo event that's coming up, that's hosted by Dr. Lori Kozier. And you can find that information. We'll have a link in the notes, but you know, go to healthydogexpo.com to get your ticket, because I think that's in, is it April?
It's in a month. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's coming up.
I'm excited.
Well, it was great talking to you.
All right. Until next time, everybody.
Bye.